This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
My name is I Am Sue.
Thank you for coming.
Word.
I apologize that it's snowing.
It's all good.
No, don't apologize. Like, that's, you gotta get a taste of flavor of that if you don't, if that's not your...
Says the guy who just moved to L.A.
Oh, man. How do you like Cali?
Love California. And even though I'm living in Southern California... Northern California is actually my favorite.
Word. Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. That kind of cuss?
Yeah. Fine. Okay.
That's what's up. How many times you been out there? You been out there before?
To the Bay Area specifically? Yeah. Tons of times.
Yeah, you give me that vibe, like a Bay Area vibe, like Oakland or something like that.
You know, the people from the Bay, just, I don't know, something about it. It's just like wholesome and... Not to say anything, people from L.A., San Diego area are not wholesome. But specifically, Tribe Called Quest has had more fans in California than any place else in America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. I think I could draw parallels between, like, you guys and, like, say, Outkast and Souls of Mischief and Hyrule. Mm-hmm. I, like, see... a lot of comparisons just as far as mindset, not necessarily music, but just mindset and presentation. Then, like, as I get older, I start to see, like, myself and my collective, we call it the HBK gang, I start to see our trajectory similar to you guys, like, you know, like, street smart, but with etiquette and, like, musicality and just different respects for the culture that I think a lot of people don't necessarily have, you know?
Yeah.
Those are also all groups that really know how to put on a show.
Right.
Which is important in terms of, like, just having an audio or visual display of your audio art. And for the hip-hop culture, it's not just one element, which is just the record, you know? But even though some people, that's as far... as they see with it, but it's all, you know, it's a package because it's the extension of the human connection. It's like the record is one part, but then when you're like, you're in the crowd, like, what's your performance? Like, what do you feel like when you're on stage?
Oh, man, it feels amazing, and I could just read different people's energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I could sense when to cater to one side of the stage and the other, and it's like, I've been trying to do more research, and MTV played a bunch of you guys' old performances, like, it was like a spring break or something, but all of y'all had on big-ass leather coats and hoodies under the leather, and then, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
We were in Florida, but it was not like, and it was spring break, but it was the colder side of that day, and I think it rained right after we performed as well, so yeah, I do remember that day.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy.
So you like live performance?
Yeah, I love it. I'm about to go on tour.
Do you record thinking about a reaction a crowd's going to have off of, like, a song or a verse or a hook or something?
Yeah, totally. Like, I write my songs to perform them, you know? So it's like I know certain parts that I'm going to say that the crowd will say. I could kill the beat and not even say nothing. And, you know what I mean? So... Definitely.
Yeah.
What about as part of a group? Like, is that, I mean, it seems to me that there are some tough things about a group on the road, meaning you have to pay for everybody.
Right.
And all of that, and split that money all those different ways. But it is it easier to make a really dynamic performance with more people? Or is it just too complicated? That goes for both of you.
Ooh. I see you take that one. You got more tenure.
Tenure, I like that. Oh, professor. actually, it depends on your crew. Like, if, you know, Tribe, there was just the three of us, so that was easy to tame. And in terms of having an entourage, we didn't move like that. And if anything, we probably pissed off a lot of rappers and just different musicians because when we come in, we'd be like, yo, clear the stage, backstage. I don't care who you were. Like, everyone has to go. And other people would be really pissed off at us because they would be like, yo, we just performed like 10 minutes before. Like, but for us, it was just like, we can't have any extra energy. Like, the energy is here and we want to be able to feel that. And all that extra stuff, it comes into what you're doing. And so if you're like Wu-Tang, though, and you have like a whole like massive of MCs, it definitely.
Or Dipset.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Dipset is different. It's different. It's not that different. It's Cam's not, always like, get back.
Well, but some people like that. That kind of stage it helps them be a better performer.
Yeah.
And I think if you have a whole bunch of people, it can be effective if everyone knows their parts and if they know, like, simple etiquette. Like, if one person is rapping, don't, like, five other people have a microphone, don't step on that verse. Like, let it breathe. Let that spotlight breathe. Like, move and know, like, all right, your verse is up. If I'm commanding the stage from the center, cool, or wherever that person may be, maybe they didn't get to the center stage. They may be stage left, stage right. So let everyone is responding like a community. So it's like, yo, we letting him, we right there. Or if we're going to stand right there with them, then it's just different aesthetics and things you can do to really amp up your show, mm-hmm. even if you got 50 people on the stage. Mm-hmm. But then lots of times when people get on, they just get on. There's no school to teach you this stuff.
Yeah, I wish it was, because at first, like, my performances, I'd have everybody on the stage with me. Yeah. It's like, if I made it, we made it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But as I started performing more, my mom started coming to my shows and started really critiquing my whole get down. And I really respect what you said about the energy, because somebody could be on the side of the stage, and what really irritates me is when somebody's on their phone or acting like they don't want to be there. And but you did all of this to get backstage, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I really understand that now. Like, the energy is very critical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's the plan for this tour?
It's my first time doing, like, a production. It's not just me walking on stage with the regular lights or, all of that stuff. I'm really trying to put some effort into my show. So just different elements like video and like controlled lighting and smoke and strobes. And I got the live auto-tune so I could perform deeper songs in my catalog that I couldn't typically perform.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to take it to. I look at people like Kanye and Drake and just all-time great performers.
That's a lot of smoke. That's a lot of fog.
It's a lot of fog. Wiz, just people, there's a lot of energy on stage.
And what about, like, your peers, that, like, people of a similar, like, I want to say age group, but I don't know if that's right, but, like, other people playing a similar size venue to you right now? Do you have anybody you look to?
G-Eazy.
Okay.
Because I just came off tour with him, and I'm going back to a lot of the same venues that I opened up for him at. Mm-hmm. So it's my opportunity to show what separates me and what, so it's a big undertaking, but I'm ready for it.
Do you have a rider?
Yeah, I do.
What is it?
It consists of water, towels, Eggos, fresh fruit, high chews. You guys like high chews?
I love high chews.
I don't even know what a high chew is.
Oh, it's fire. It's like a fruit, like candy.
It's like a superior Starburst.
Yeah, it's fire.
It's like more subtle flavor. It's a little bit like an hour later, but it's not as hard.
Not as tough as an hour later and more flavor than a Starburst. Mm-hmm. And it come in a pack like a Starburst. It's fire.
It's like Japanese or something?
Yeah, something like that. And then what else was on? It was Hennessy on the list for a long time, but I'm taking that off. I'm not trying to really drink as much. I'm not going to say I'm not going to drink at all, because that'd be a lie, but I'm not trying to drink as much because I really want to take my my stage show more serious. Mm-hmm. I wanted to treat it as if it's my profession. I feel like I was treating it more like it was a party.
Right.
Smoking and drinking and trying to connect with girls. More so thinking about what's going on after than catering to the show. So
what was it that made you realize that you should think about it more deeply?
Just how I would feel after tour. Like, this past tour, it really took a toll on my body and just my mental. I was just out of it for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And my bounce back was really, really bad. And so I just need to take care of myself more. It's like, if I want to do this, I got to take care of myself.
Do you create while you're on the road? Do you write while you're on tour?
Yeah. I write and I try to record if I can.
Yeah.
So we bring like a little, just a little Pro Tools like rig, you know, off a laptop, and I got my small keyboard. I can make my beats on whatever. Mm-hmm. So I try to get some work done like when I'm in hotels and stuff, and that's when I got some spare time.
Yeah. It's a good way to keep you out of trouble, too.
Yeah, just make music. No after parties. No, just go to the hotel and just make beats, make music.
They used to carry me and Q-Tip both. We had portable studios. And that, this was before everything was so compact, but and have, like, two road cases of just, like, racks of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wish I would have gone to the parties, but I think for the most part, like, it was just better that way because you stay focused and you stay out of trouble.
That's, like, a big thing because it's a lot of easy trouble to get into. Like, on the road, every promoter is trying to get you at their little after party, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you don't know what could go down over there. You in random cities, and every city got a hood.
Yeah.
And they're more susceptible to be crazy in a random town than they would be in New York or in the Bay or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about being careful. So that's the main thing I really want to take into account.
Do you notice any differences between the crowds and like a third-tier market or anywhere that, like, isn't those big cities that you mentioned, like, in the ways that people either interact with the performers, like, you know, we talked about, like, New York is a tough crowd. Are other places easier? Do other places, like, talk back more or interact?
Yes, without question.
Can you elaborate?
So, off the top of my head, like, an example I would give would be, like, Boise, Idaho.
What's happening there?
They're more responsive.
Okay.
Yeah, and then like in a cooler city like you said, New York or L.A. or where else was like really just too cool? It's like Miami. You know,
uh-huh.
It was like really work to get them out. Like it's like it was work. So definitely.
Is it more gratifying to get the response, or do you like just like it when people are like, you know, put it on display?
I love a good crowd. It's like you said before, it's energy.
Mm-hmm.
And just we're all vessels of energy, you know what I mean? So if the crowd is responding and knowing the words and into your music, then the show will be that much better.
Mm-hmm.
Westside four fingers. Count too much money for you broke niggas. Richie rich city, I ain't from the Bay. My money come fast like underlay. Tell me what you want, tell me what you need. Hit the car lot, dealer hand me keys. Hit the pawn shop saying, can you please? Broke rapper staying home, running out of cheese.
Going up. I got all this money in my pocket and that shit is going up. She wanna pull the drawers down, but this time it's going up. 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 It's going up like a staircase. Rare bait, been a real one, nowhere near fake. Real estate, paint a picture, yeah, I illustrate. Young G getting paper like a dealer plate. Like I'm dealing weight, you a pillowcase. Bass bang, make the building shake. Got my city on me like I got it tatted. Gold chain busting, semi-automatic. My girl booty big, you might wanna grab it. But if you reach for it, you ain't coming back with nada. Keep heat like Nevada in the summer. Susie number one stunner. Got gas like a H1 Hummer. Turn a good girl to a track runner. Niggas don't wanna problem. And my checks keep a whole lot of commas. It's going up. I got all this money in my pocket and that shit is going up. She wanna pull the drawers down, but this time it's going up. It's going up. It's going up. It's going up.
What up, Sue?
It's going up.
HBK gang. TGOD, you know what it is.
I cannot imagine having to win a crowd over. I would be just like emotionally devastated and I would suffer. And you guys just do it all the time.
You know, the it's the part maybe, and you can speak to this, like after you have like that one song that everyone knows maybe, or even like an album where people are familiar, but then you coming in with a new project and it's like no one knows anything off of this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I gotta really push this, you know? And you gotta save the other good stuff that you know is just instant, yeah. You know, for the new stuff. And then I don't like that moment, but I also at the same time I do like it because it makes you're vulnerable, but you're also trying to figure out like, did we do the right thing? Is it the good, like how we gotta make, we're gonna learn where to make improvements off this new stuff right here.
And
you're trying to figure out the things sometimes that you think the songs that you love and the crew loves or the record company loves is the thing, but then you learn and discover like, yes, you know, this is the wrong, you gotta go back and be like, nah, this is not it. You know, they liking this, you know, so.
That's an intense moment. Like, and I've been going to shows and it'll be like, they run through their hits. They'll be like, yo, I got this new record I'm about to. And then the reaction will be kind of sparse. I didn't understand it till I got on the stage and did it. It's like terrifying. But at the same time, I like it. It's like a test, like you said. Like, you're just testing to see what reacts. But I try to do, like, before that, I just try to get something up on SoundCloud or something, like, see some kind of reactions or something.
Yeah.
I don't think I got the balls to just perform a brand new song. Like, I just recorded this. Let me just rock this right now.
Right.
That takes a lot of confidence. Like, have you done something like that before? Just recorded it and went straight to the stage?
No, but see, it's a different time period. Like, you know, where you are in your existence of creating art, you can have more of a direct kind of like connection with the fans, and you'll get sort of instantly, yeah, this is something people are feeling, or no, we can play around with ideas with the people, you know, because it's better when you can say to the whole world, hey, whole world, this is an idea I have. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? And they're like, yeah, throw it up on SoundCloud. Let us know. You know, we didn't have that, so we'd have to go through this whole process of believing, like, yo, you know, spent 12 months or 18 months architecting this idea, and it was like, it better work, you know? So, it's different.
Stark difference. And I think people appear in certain eras for reasons, you know what I mean? I think it took definitely a more diligent type of artist in the past. Like, I gotta tip my hat because, like you said, like, things are at our fingertips at this point. You know what I mean? Like, the studio's compact. The internet is here.
What's your interaction with the fans like over the internet? Are you really deeply involved in connecting with people, or is it just loose?
I've always tried to hit as many fans back as possible. Like, people hit me and ask questions. That's why I'm on my phone so much, because I'll be hitting fans back. So I try to just maintain some type of connection with them, whether it be Twitter or Instagram. And for a long time, I didn't check DMs. I didn't like pictures, nothing. I wasn't engaged. But once I started engaging, I just noticed my followers and everything just increased. So I try to be as active as I can without going crazy.
Make that face because, like, we have to do that. And we just don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's like outreach. Today's outreach is on Instagram.
Makes me tired.
It's mentally draining.
See, that's the thing. It's like you say, the previous generation was like more diligent, but you guys have no separation. There is no like punching out, like taking a day off. It's just a different level, a different like type of ethic, work ethic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good point. No separation. So it's just, you have to be that. Like, I feel like rappers, at one point, it was a day job, you know? Mm-hmm. You could go home and just, you know, wherever.
Right. Just be like a music professional.
Yeah, a music professional. But when they see me out, I got to be like what they saw on Instagram or at all times, whether it be in a grocery store or at the airport or at the doctor, wherever the situation is. So it's like a crazy thing.
Can we talk about your recording process a little bit? So when you're setting out to make an album, do you envision the entire record, or does it come together in pieces?
Well, my first album, I felt like I was an amateur with that because I didn't have a full vision. It was like loosely based. I said at first it was going to be in the form of an open letter, so a lot of songs weren't going to have full structure. It was going to be free form, like flow of consciousness, like I'm just talking directly to the fan. And then it morphed into me making a bunch of club songs, and then it morphed into me getting live instruments and this and that. So it was kind of scatterbrained all over the place. But now going into this next album, I got a distinct vision, like time periods I want to recreate, like colors I want to feel and see with like the sound beds, you know. Just vibes. I see that way deeper, and just overall, I want people to be able to take a message back. If you hear the whole project front to back, and I didn't say nothing about it, I want people to be able to receive the message that I was given. So that's like the biggest difference. Before, I think I just went in and rapped. Honestly,
you what?
I just went in the booth and just rapped.
Yeah,
like with no real concrete direction.
Yeah. So it's interesting because you say you see colors, you obviously probably want people to see those same colors, which that's easy to do, and some people get it and some people don't. My mom, I remember one day she came to me and she was like, "Do you see colors when you make your music?" I don't know. I mean, like, I've been doing it for 10 years and I just looked at her and I was like, "Why are you asking me that?" Mm-hmm. Like she's never like through. Actually, it was more than 10 years. I've been making music for like 20 years, basically. And I was like, yeah, actually, I do see colors, but it's something that I don't think you can explain to people.
Yeah.
And so just are there certain instruments or frequencies that you feel like will definitely you look for in production?
Yeah, I love, like, layered vintage synth sounds. Like Miami Vice, Knight Rider, what else? Flash Gordon. Just things like, you know how those scores were? Mm-hmm. Like just the deep, like it's just super compressed, deep, thin synth sounds. I love those kind of sounds. And just layering and layering those sounds, like whether it be a lead melody on top of like some super dark chords. And, like, I just been noticing my music getting darker, but the content being more like joyful. It's like, it's a interesting.
How do you balance? Sorry?
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
You've noticed that in my music?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's just like, for example, just looking out the window, what we see, it's like the music will sound like the environment. But then my mindset doesn't reflect that of the environment. I'm trying to preach something a little bit motivational, at least take something back from it. But the sounds, in order for people to engage and connect, have to feel like where they're at, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've also been thinking about it, like, in relation to your flow, which is a lot more, like, in the pocket and kind of playful than most people. And it goes against, like, the – sometimes it's, like, not a somber sound, but, like, a heavy sound. But like my guess was always that you kind of like from previous stuff that you went in the booth and just did it because it was so not like pinned down in any way.
Yeah, I wasn't writing. Yeah. I wasn't writing. I was just thinking, I get a couple lines and then I'll just go in.
Right. Like on function, like if you think about how everybody else like played that and then the way that you played it was like totally.
Yeah.
Not.
Totally different. I heard that beat. Totally different.
Exactly.
I can't even really describe it, but I was just like, this is my coming out party. E-40 about to let me rap?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about to rap. Like, I'm not going to just party on this. I got to really, really, like, this might be people first time hearing me, so I got to try to go in. L-A-N-G, thinking about taking $1 million insurance policy out of my mouth. Hey, bitch, try this. Guaranteed turn square to a bye, bitch. You ain't down, bye, bitch. I ain't got time for playing, I'm just saying, man. We out here trying to function. 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 I ain't got time for playing, I'm just saying, man. We out here trying to function. 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 I ain't got time for playing, I'm just saying, man. Hey bitch, okay bitch. It's Uncle Earl and the HBK bitch. Mission the gang, they already know that we ballin'. I'm coming straight out the rich. I got family down in New Orleans. Where you from? You say you lying out here. We say that you chosen. You probably thought this never would happen. My niggas been called an alcoholic when sipping that liquor. Oh, I'm drunk as hell. Fucking with a little bitch over in Vallejo. Got a whole pack of pre-roll young L's. And I'm never down to Uno. Pocket
pockets on simo. Haters respect the pedigree, baller heavily. A phony homie, I never be for methamphetamine. That means it's crack ho, young G, hotter than Tabasco. I smash hoes, collect 200 and pass go. My flow, so Lamborghini, oh shit's a raffo. Now you understand why everything I do, I gas ho, Susie. Hey.
But it was different because I heard you before that and you weren't, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting to watch. For me, the most interesting thing about you has been to watch your choice of flow change.
Yeah, and I'm always trying to be innovative with that and ahead of the curve. I'm always more into how the words are said than necessarily the words. But now it's like partnering that with like impactful things, like making sure that everything has meaning to me. And then if it has something of meaning to me, then I feel like everybody else will feel it.
Is that how you feel? Like when you guys were writing, I mean, I know that you weren't writing lyrics, but like you talked about choices and narrative choices and.
Yeah, like to take like a song, for example, the infamous date rape, like that's just like a heavy topic. But during the time we were making music, like it just seemed to be like this thing of, that word, you just heard it a lot, date rape. And we were touring in a lot of colleges at the time. And so it was just like, you know, you wanna have a song that's impactful, you know, and maybe not make a statement, but maybe make a statement, you know, or you wanted it to be felt and not just fluff, you know. And so you really got to think about it. And Fife will tell you, like, it was kind of hard on him at times, you know, because I think, I mean, as dope as he is, he had his own way of seeing the song and the idea of it. And one of the challenges is, it may be different, like, with, you know, when you're doing your own stuff versus, like, within your crew and everyone's just doing. But you have to kind of like take the opinion of other people in your group. And even though you may see the song one way and it's like, yo, this is what I penned, but it's like, yeah, but it's this broad, you know? And so often we'd make him go back and change his stuff. But it worked. It worked for the better because it was like, yeah, now we're saying what we want to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, does that happen with HBK Gang? Like, are you ever, like, does somebody ever come with the verse and you're like, actually?
I mean, it happens with me. People feel the need to tell me that, but I feel like I need to start telling everybody else that. It's good that you said that, because I feel like it is a lot of just fluff. Like, you know what I mean? And we have to speak on something. I'm not saying we have to be activists, but if we're going to rap, even no matter what the subject is, somebody has to take something from it, you know?
Whatever, I feel like if we're going to talk,
yeah.
Don't be fucking around with the brief time that we have.
Yeah.
It goes into everything else.
Like, we literally are taking a microphone, plugging it in to amplify to the world. So it's like, you have this moment. I'm giving you this. It's in your hands. And it's like,
right.
Do something great with it.
Do something great, you know?
And also, if you're asking for somebody's time to listen to you, don't waste it.
Yeah. I'm just starting to take it more serious. It just took me getting older. I'm 25 now. You know, you get that 25-year-old light switch.
You still got the crazy baby face happening.
So do you, bro.
It's like, you look at him, even with all the hair on his face, you look like you're 15, not 25. Man.
That's what my mom be saying all the time. She's like, you look like how you did when you was four. But I've been just, it's like a light switch hit me, you know, and I just started seeing things for what they really are, you know, and just I'm really just trying to be a person that has a voice in the rap game. I feel like there's so many rappers, but it's only X amount of people with a legitimate, credible voice in the rap game.
And are you're independent?
I got major distribution, but I'm not signed to as an artist, no.
Do you think that helps or hinders you in trying to be like a legit voice?
Helps, because I'm not being told when, where, how I do it, and then they put it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Was there ever a time when a label telling you, like, when, what, how was instructive or helpful or, like, helped anybody make any more money? Or was it, or as it's always been.
Yes, like if you look at Motown, the history of Motown, like, you know, Berry Gordy was the corporation, you mm-hmm. know, but he had vision, you know, yeah. and he understood artist development and knowing, like, you know, we're going to take you guys and send you over to this part of my organization to whip you into shape. Like, you know, you can't just come in here with your great voice and sing. There's like, we're packaging you and we're packaging this idea. And so in that instance, it definitely worked, you know, having them train to dance and, you know, like presentation of attire and all these little subtle things. But in the bigger scheme of what his package was, yes, there are a lot of record company people who they come in and it's just like, yo, man, I'm just, my time here is my whatever 8 hours I check in, I send out some whatever I need to send out, and I'm just making my little paper for the day and I'm out. Or you have some person who's an attorney and they should really just be in the legal department, but they've given them the CEO position or, you know, placed them in some other like marketing position, and they maybe inside they were a musician but they weren't really good at it, and so they should just stick to like doing law. But now they're sitting here telling you what's going to make you a star or have a better way of articulating your life experiences to the masses. Is like, you don't know what you're talking about, do you? Like, please go in the corner and just like push your paper and get out my face.
That's so true.
So there's so many different dynamics. But then you have, when you have an organization that understands completely who the artist is and that they, you know, the infrastructure is set up to say, tell us who you are. And now that we understand who you are, this is what we can do in our infrastructure to help enhance who you are, and let's find a happy marriage to, you know, put that out. Like, there are places like that that exist. But
that's kind of some of what we're talking about in our earlier interview. We were talking to Jean Grey earlier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She's super talented.
Yeah, she's great. We were debating having her stay and talk to you also.
You should have.
Yeah. We wanted to.
That would have been crazy.
But we were talking about sort of that thing of like, you know, being friends with people who are well known mm-hmm. and how much of a trip that is. And then how we just sort of put authority in the hands of people and don't ever think about it. Like the way that you walk into a boardroom and you're like, I assume you know what the fuck you're talking about because mm-hmm. you're wearing a tie.
Right.
But like, we have to recognize that that's like very rarely the case. As much as the little things about your attire are important.
A lot of people make uninformed statements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more uninformed than informed, I've noticed. Just people talk out their neck so much, especially in a music office. Just being a fly on the wall, like, in a studio or going to meetings and then hearing the conversations that people would have, they don't talk about anything pertinent to the situation. It's always gossip or this, that, the third, instead of how we're going to make this artist pop or what's things that we could do to improve our infrastructure or how are we learning how music is received, you know what I mean? So it's like the game is playing catch up right now. I took a meeting with Def Jam last week just to entertain my options, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just showing me the roster and I was just trying to understand like what they do that artist and with his X-odd millions of dollars couldn't do
right.
if he just knew who to talk to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you got the right PR, if you got the right this, that, the third, so.
It's funny that you say you're a fly on the wall because that's actually how I met you. I don't know if you remember. This was a couple months ago. I was in L.A. kind of for, like, my other job, with Yours Truly, and you were recording with Quick and Corrupt and Boogie.
That just happened.
And somebody else. Yeah, it was January, right?
Yeah.
January.
Okay.
And, but, like, you were kind of doing what I was doing, which was, like, sitting to the side and, like, watching Quick, like, train at this other engineer whose studio it was.
Yeah, that was
crazy.
Remember
when he was like, no, you can bypass it like this? And the guy was like,
yeah, take that U87, take this plug-in. I'm like, you speaking Chinese. Like, this just sounds crazy.
Well, then he brought his own mic and everything.
Yeah, he did.
And it was like... But yeah, I noticed that you were watching and you were like trying to
Yeah, because how many times you gonna be able to sit with DJ Quick? It's like this situation. Like, I just need to know the knowledge. Like, y'all been around for this long, you know?
Quick's the guy who says out loud what he's doing. Like, he makes it possible to learn like that.
That was cool. Because people don't do that.
Right.
They'd be like, what I'm doing right now is I'm gonna take your vocals and I'm gonna run them through this, and then it's gonna sound like this. So you got the type of voice that needs this. Like, right. You know? So it was just gave me a lot of information. Just that short period of time, I was like, wow. Because I've never sounded that crispy ever. I was like, ooh. You know, just that feeling you get. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is me? This sounds crazy. Mm. So crisp, full, because I got like a thin voice and I'm really yell from my chest when I rap. Like, you know what I mean? I'm more relaxed when I'm rapping. So he still brought my presence out. Like, he's crazy. And Corrupt was like, watch. He's going to make it sound so buttery, so buttery. Just watch, watch. I was like, wow.
And then those guys, like the way that they gossip, they're telling stories that are 25 years old that are totally instructive, like how to like protect yourself and then like surround yourself with the right people and like what happens if you forget some steps or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. I mean, I wish that there were some easier way to like transmit, because that's what I feel like, there's this disconnect between generations and there's no easy way to transmit the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because, like, the younger generation is too busy and the older generation is like, you don't have the same priorities I do. I can't even. And also, I have to pay for somebody's college right now.
Wow.
A lot of different things. But I think if you're you have to feel out the energy of the room. But if you're in a situation where you're around, and especially like you work with a lot of different people, and I think that those doors are going to continue to open. So it's just a matter of feeling the energy and just knowing, like, you know, asking a question. I think sometimes you don't want to ask a question because you might not want to get the wrong reaction or response for someone, but it's like if you don't ask someone, then you don't even know whether you're going to get some, they're going to just be like, get out of my face, young boy, you know, or whatever, or they may actually just open up the world to you.
Yeah,
you know?
So you just tell you the whole game.
Yeah, tell you the whole game. And you know, I don't know how to get around that, but there are people, it's funny, you have these prolific artists who say great things on record, but then after the record, they're just like not the nicest people. And that's just, you know, so then that's, we should not put people up on pedestals like that, but we do, and we can't help it, especially if they're making really great art. But put my pants on one leg at a time.
Right.
And so I try to help out if someone asks me a question. I'm open to giving advice. Do you have people already coming up to you and it's just like, yo, I'm trying to get in. Could you...
Absolutely. Absolutely. All the time.
What does that feel like?
It's crazy. To go from handing demos out to people handing demos to me is a weird feeling. It's like, wow. Like, you take my opinion that serious. And, like, people wanting to work. It's just really interesting. I think it's just, I got to remember that we're just not different. Everybody essentially is the same. You know what I mean? We got the same goals. I can't speak for everybody, but most of us, you know, we want to be successful and this and that. So we just got to, like you said, be an open book. Like, I try to just be transparent with the knowledge that, the little knowledge I have, and just pass it on as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. How did it come that you work with Too Short and E-40?
Well, for Function, 40 just got my number and called me. Because, you know, he could just get anybody's number. If you're a Bay Area rapper, he's just going to get your number. So he got my number and called
me.
There's
just a big Bay Area group text.
Yeah, it probably is on the under. It's like, we're not too separated from each other, right. So he can just get on the horn and hit anybody. So
okay, so but what did he say? Like, you answered the phone.
He's like, ooh, what up? It's your boy E-40. What up, Sue? I got this record. It's called Function. I want you to hop on that thing and do your thing on there. I had met him before, but I never talked to him on the phone. So I was like, yeah, just send it right now. Send it right now. So I took my time with it. I would just listen to it, and I couldn't really get into it at first, but then I took it to L.A. I just listened to it in the car for, like, 3 days. And I went back, and I lost my voice. That's why I sounded so different. But I was okay. 40 need this. If you he called me again, like, what's up with that verse, man? You gonna get that verse back? I said, he can't call me again. So I need to send this back, you know? So I went to Chief's house and I just recorded it and just blacked out. And I probably had like 3 cough drops in my mouth. I was just smashing tea. I was like, I gotta keep my voice somewhere decent. So that's how that happened. And with Too Short, I would see him everywhere. I would see him all over the place. His studio is in Oakland, and it's right by the Chicken and Waffles. And he would just be outside in Oakland all the time. And the person that DJed for this other group I knew ended up DJing for Too Short, and I got in contact with him that way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was cool. That was really cool. And we were all together. I shot a video for a song called TWDY, mm-hmm. the album. And we all chopped it up. It was me, him, and Mr. Fab. And we just chopped it up. It was like a surreal moment.
What does that feel like for the city? It's like, you know, passing of the torch, sort of a...
Right. It was wild. It was just like, you know, you go through your whole career as a Bay Area rapper, like, I got to do a song with E-40 and Too Short. Like, those are the icons, you know?
Did you see that? Is it like, you know, your, like, 10-year-old self? Did you envision it?
Nah. To be honest, I did not see it. I just thought they were so out of touch. Mm. But they're not, you know? They want to be a part of the youth movement, just how I want to work with them. So it was just like an even exchange.
Do you mean you thought they were like out of your like reach or like?
Yeah,
they...
I just didn't think that they were accessible to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I just had to put my nose down. I was like, I'm about to just put in work and they're going to see me. They're just going to see me. I know it. So.
Too long, my team way too strong. We on the grind and we coming for you. Goddamn, I smoke way too strong. I just ripped that bong. That high grade got me paranoid. I swear this hater spoke too soon. Now when I walk in the room, it's no choice but to love the boy. Gone for a minute, time to fill the void. I'm a grown ass man, ho, you still a boy. Been here quite some time, so when I write these rhymes, I feel like I'm finna take flight. Niggas can't block my shine. You better off trying to go swim with a great white. Lil' Jamie, couple freaks, it's a great night. Stack my money from the floor, we the same height. Yeah, 2 clubs in the same night. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan,
we the last of the real. We the last of the real. It ain't about money, it ain't about me. And that's on the real, and that's on the real. They know we in the game, wanna ask how I feel. We the last of the real, we the last of the real. They know we in the game, wanna ask how I feel. We the last of the real, we the last of the real. They know we in the game, wanna ask how I feel. We the last of the real.
We're the real niggas from the Bay. I'm tired of broke rappers, name dropping Mac Dre. Stop fronting. It makes no sense if you ain't talking about money. What you talking about, pimp? Made my first million when I hit 22. Hoes still choosing even with the chipped tooth. My new work says she went to school with Sue. I'm a real OG, still doing what it do. Kingpin's coming home. Youngsters don't care. They ain't never seen a real street millionaire like Short Dog. I'm still in the house, bitch. $50,000 on the jewelry, $100 on the outfit. Instead of choosing, you know that they love the Mac and it's platinum on top of platinum. I'm rapping, they know it's happening. Young Sue, 40 Water, what's up? That's why they wanna be like
we the last of the real, we the last of the real. It ain't about money, it ain't about me. And that's on the real, and that's on the real. They know we in the game, wanna ask how I feel. We the last of the real, we the last of the real. They know we in the game, wanna ask.
Let
how
the counselor
feel.
Speak,
the
man.
Real. We the last of the real.
E-40,
we in the game, wanna ask
the best that
feel.
Ever did
we
it.
The last of the real.
We the last of the real, and you'll never know how I feel because you ain't real. Only thing on my mind is scrap.
What's that?
Dividends.
Okay.
Bay Area niggas been setting trends. I got more friends in the pen than I do in the streets. If it wasn't for my pen, I'd be locked up or deceased. I'm polished. They wonder why I'm so wise. Got the gang from the OG.
Who is that?
The older guys.
Older guys.
I love the Lord. That's all I know.
How was you raised?
Raised in the mud. Hella po. Diabetic used to put lotion on my grandma's toe. Why? Cause it had a hole in it.
Hole in it.
I rep that 707. It's either hell or it's heaven. Where I'ma go, I don't know. Will I see a dove or a crow? Watching out for the rifle, it's called survival. Where your hands at? One hand on the pistol, one hand on the Bible.
We the last of the real. We the last of the real. It ain't about money, it ain't about me. And that's on the real. And that's on the real. They know we in the game, wanna ask how I feel. We the last of the real. We the last of the real.
Who else is, like, what else is happening in the Bay right now that, like, people are gonna hear about in the next 6 months or something?
It's a lot of talent.
Yeah.
I could go on for hours, but off the top of my head, the people that I really like at this moment, I would say Manny Phantom. I've been lending him the big co-sign, but he's just that talented. It's crazy. Okay. Neff the Pharaoh from Vallejo. He's really talented. Dave Steezy. I'm taking him on tour with me. Showbanger from San Francisco. It's like a lot of people. Cool John, HBK.
Mm-hmm.
The whole HBK gang.
How did you guys like come together as a group?
It happened in different stages. Myself and P-Lo and Chief and P-Lo's brother Kuya Beats, we all met in high school. Mm-hmm. We went to Pinole Valley High School.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated high school, went to a junior college called Contra Costa, and that's where I met Cool John.
Mm-hmm.
And Love Rance and Rossi, all of them, Skip. So then I was like 17 at that time, so we all got cool. Started performing at parties, like standing on chairs in Chinese restaurants and, you know, like speakers, middle of the floor, no stage sometimes. One mic passing it around and just making it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. My dad was in the Navy and I lived in Lafayette when I was in 6th and 7th grade.
Oh, okay. I know where that's at.
And we used to always go to this Chinese restaurant. That's funny. Those are like my strongest memories.
Yeah, it's like stupid K-M-E-L amounts of Chinese restaurants in the Bay Area. Like outrageous amounts of Chinese restaurants. My personal favorite is called Hunan Villa.
Okay, yeah.
It's fire. It's in Pinole. It's fire. And she listens to my music and everything. It's this older Chinese amazing. Lady. Mm-hmm. She said, "What is your song? Put it on my phone."
I said, "Oh, so I got nice. You."
Her iPhone is Chinese, so I had to just type off of just knowing where the letters was. So it was crazy.
That's really funny.
You know what I like is that you retain the DNA of the Bay Area, where what I mean by that is the music has always been musical. And it's one of the things, like even when Outkast came out, their music was just so musical that
you
I first thought
they were from the Bay.
Oh,
you
wow.
Know? Yeah, I did. And so, you know, it's that I see like you carry that. And, you know, juxtaposed to like New York, New York had this sort of DNA that it just is now amiss and doesn't exist and has adapted other ways of sounding, but you kind of retain that musical aspect. Was that intentional or?
A lot of stuff is just a product of being around it, you know what I mean? Like I think about what people are gonna play out of their cars or what I'm gonna hear in the club or just kids in the bar station with iPod headphones just walking through, like how people move and interact out there. The music has to low-key just sound like how our stuff sound, you know?
Yeah.
And but that's interesting. I wasn't really aware of it until I went back and listened to older Bay Area songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, wow. Like, I didn't even listen to some of the stuff, but mm-hmm. just the, like you said, the DNA and just our environment created this music. So mm-hmm. it speaks more than our talent. It's like the area just creates this kind of music,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Like the scenery does it.
Yeah, just the consistency of the water.
Right.
It's really green. There's yeah. people from all over the world. Like, you know.
Real fog.
Real fog. Not smog, real fog. That's funny.
What is HBK Day?
Well, it just turned into an annual thing. This past event wasn't supposed to be an HBK Day event, but the people at Pink Dolphin really pushed for it, so we did it. And it's basically a clothing capsule, a musical release, and a free concert.
So it's like a small scale high road day.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that.
It's not like a festival.
It's not a festival. I want to take it to that level. That's why I didn't want to call this one HBK Day, because I have really,
yeah.
really big plans. Like I wanted to have multiple stages, okay. vendors, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like do something dope.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool. It was a big turnout. It was like 1,200 kids and people camped out from,
wow.
the event was on Sunday and people were camped out outside on Thursday. So I was like, wow. It was crazy.
That's really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that's kind of missing from the New York scene. It's like motivating people to step outside their daily
life. I just think that there are very few artists that make you feel part of something big here and a part of a movement. And I don't know why that exists, you know, in New York. And that's part of it. You have to feel like...
There's a little exclusionary to like the... Like ASAP is like, we're ASAP.
Yeah.
You're not ASAP.
You're not ASAP.
Yeah. And I think that's the difference.
That's the difference between Taylor Gang and ASAP. I feel like ASAP could be huge.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, but they got clothes and H&M and stuff, so they're doing something right. But
But Wiz, like, just comes out of the whole college scene. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
How important is family to you?
Very, very, very important. And more important recently, just because things have gotten so crazy. Not even just, like, the cliche, I'm dealing with fans, it's super crazy, but just the rap game in general is, like, really, really weird. Like, it's really weird, and it's hard to
when you say weird, be weird, around. What do you mean by weird? Can you elaborate?
Just, you know, you always, how can I put this? You always around interesting types of energy, and that energy might not always agree with your energy. So it's, like, really hard to stay balanced, and it's easy to get swayed, especially being younger. It's, like, people always want to see you turn up. If you're rapping about doing this and that, they always want to see you do that. And if you're not doing that, it's like they're disappointed with you. Yeah. And it's just so many people with so many expectations and people that don't just take you for being you. Like, what if you just want to chill? Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I've been just trying to really connect with the family. And I feel like they keep me grounded. Like, my sister and my cousins, my mom comes out with me a lot. So I know my mom's not going to take no bullshit from me. Like, you feel me?
Yeah.
So it's just been keeping me balanced. I feel like I was separated from my family for a minute, like being on the road and just coming out to New York and doing press with managers and teams and stuff. And people act as your family, but they don't really care about you. Like, you know what I'm saying? They just want to make sure you get from point A to point B so this CD that you're putting out will sell. So it's really just about me staying grounded and reconnecting. So I think family is, like, the utmost important. Because without that, I would probably be crazy or something in the street right now.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's interesting. Like, you have your mom here today, and I think that's awesome. And just with you saying that, I'm envisioning, like, you're in a situation where people would really want you to turn up, but it's like if you come there and your mom is there, it's like that's just...
It's killed. All that noise is killed.
instantly, it's like, oh... Like, when someone's mom, when you say, it's my mom, it's like, now you feel like your mom's in the room.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like, yo, I've got to be on my best, like, behavior.
The energy better be correct, yo, right? For real.
Maybe that's what hip-hop needs. It needs more people to bring their moms to the situation. Now, some of your moms, there's some ratchet moms out there, but then still.
You got a mom with some sense.
Yeah, like, maybe that'll help curve certain behaviors. You know, there's some people be like, yo, I'm trying to holler at his mom real quick.
You know what? I got that from what made me even comfortable to bring my mom was Wiz. His mom was, like, all over the map. Like, she was meeting us wherever. I'm like, this is hella cool. Like, and she was hella cool, you know? So I was like, it's just about having the correct energy. Like, you said, you always going to be on your P's and Q's. If you got some sense in front of somebody's mom, you're not just going to be like, yo, where the bitch is at, man? Where's the Molly? Where's that? Like, nah.
Was it Wiz's mom that had that G-Pen and she was always, like,
had on Instagram? I don't know.
Was it her?
I think.
I can't remember now.
Well, with that, then, that says to me that you really understand the potential here. And this is long-term, you know, and it's about making proper and really well thought out career choices.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Without a doubt.
You have a plan for.
Yeah, I got a loose plan, but I have a plan. Yeah. I have a plan at the end of the day, and I see myself being in the game for a very long time, and it takes saying no to certain things and having to take the long route.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm ready for that. I'm cool with that. I don't need the overnight success. I'd rather be the person that, you know, 20 years from now, like, I could talk to the rapper like how you talking to me. You know?
I mean,
that's what I'd love to do.
It just sounds like that on Sincerely Yours. Like, there's certain things that you say that you, it's like you won't, it's like, not saying give me the respect, but it's like I should be here. I have a right to be here. You're going to respect me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so. You know, I hear that.
You always sounded like an old, like, you, your group always sounded older, like, just, like, readier than most at the same age.
Yeah. Yeah, we just ready. Like, we just want it real, real, real bad. Yeah. But the it that I thought I wanted wasn't the it that I saw. So now it's like a new it that I want now that I'm in it. You know what I'm saying? If that makes any sense.
Makes but, perfect sense.
Is it longevity?
Yep. Definitely just some long-term. It's just credibility. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's about influence. And so I just had to take my craft just a lot more serious. It's like I knew I had the talent, but was I really acting on that talent and pursuing it and trying to refine it, you know?
Terror, what the error is. Never needed a shrink. I use my music as my therapist. Trying to follow the path of the grace, minus mistakes. Cause in life, you only get one take. You heard me. Game over, lights off. Hang up your jersey. Beat the odds like magic. Cause I'm so James Worthy. Tangled in this web called fame and its pursuits. Break free, break free. It's so dangerous to do, but it's worth it. The feeling when words can't break you. The feeling when you're actually everything you say you are. Own songs, same swan song. Daddy hit mommy, mommy left daddy so long. Granddaddy passed, I'm hugging on. Granny, hold on. I ain't seen nobody crying so long. I sit back and wonder how everybody is so strong. Cause I just don't wanna be forgotten. Just wanna stack my dough and split the profits with my partners. This rap's become monotonous, going in a circle. So it forces me to go in early as my curfew in high school. Yeah, I was the butt of some jokes. Roll my stress up, let it simmer down in the smoke. In the war against whack shit, I'm on the front line. Now I'm in front of the line, they can't front on mine. Everything's by design, everything's for a reason. Now we in this thing, there ain't the slightest chance I'm leaving.
That like one like crazy thing that could happen, you'd be like, oh my god, I made it.
It would be like, it could be two things, like getting the music behind like a big campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how McDonald's just put out that new song?
Uh-huh.
Something like that. Or you two did that whole album with Apple and it was just on your phone and you didn't ask for it. You might have not even wanted it, but you had it though. You know what I'm saying? So something like that.
Damn, that's
like
crazy.
That's like, whoa, I made it. Like, you know?
Yeah. That's like super mainstream success.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's just different. Like being a rapper, it's going to be really hard to penetrate that world. And
You think so?
Honestly, think so. I think it's not hard for rap music to penetrate and go mainstream, but the type of rapper that I am and just the image that I present, it's going to be a struggle, but I know it's going to be worth it.
I think it's definitely, you could get there.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Because I think it's not like you're, to me, maybe I really understand, but your songs, you don't, it's not like this dark, like, ooh, can't, you know, don't want to invite. You date my daughter? What? Like, you know what I mean?
Okay, good. I'm glad I don't get that off.
Nah, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't, you don't get that. So I think you're making, it's interesting, you know, hear you talk about just the previous works and like maybe it wasn't as realized. And that's fair because sometimes, you know, life unfolds and you're just like, I'm right here. I didn't have any idea that it could go there. I was just like right here with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to hear that that's, you know, you made that record, you know, with that sort of feeling, but it still comes off as there's a plan and it's very relatable, you know. So I think that you definitely can tap into that higher, you know, aspect of mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Although I don't know where you're going with your next record, maybe you just was like, yo, I'm about to be the dude that you can't bring to dad home.
Nah. I'm not gonna be that. I'm gonna tell you, I want to make straight spring break pool party music, like all smashes. That's it. And I had an interview earlier. I was like, I was making so much music to prove everything to everybody else, but it's like, I have nothing to prove. Like, you know what I mean? I just got to make myself and my family happy. And that's what it's really about.
Listen, spring break used to be really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And like, now it's not fun to watch because people make these crazy songs that you're like, oh, that's either a sad song or like that's your just really competitive song or whatever. And then it's like, why are these chicks in their bikinis in the pool? Like, it's like, clearly cold. I'm worried about you right now. So yeah, do that. Do what they did.
Yeah, they was turning up. Like, I saw that video. I was like, man, I want to do something like this. Like, this is huge. You feel me?
Why not?
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. But I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just like as far as you guys' whole process, what was just conceptually, did you write out like a plan of the album? Like when you went into creating an album?
There wasn't like on a piece of paper, you know, something that was like, yo, we got to hit these marks because it's written out like that to stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there definitely was a feeling of what we wanted each record to be. Absolutely.
Hmm.
How did you like talk about it and debate it? Would you like get in the room?
No,
like,
it wasn't it's not a debate. Tip is, you know, he's a visionary, you know, and he would just come in. First of all, he would have like billions of ideas. So that, you know, can be great or it can be a bit of a nuisance, you know. And so you want to make sure that you're in an environment where if you're a person that has a bunch of ideas, like it's people who can help you talk it out and be supportive of it. Because sometimes when you're an idea person, the worst thing is to be around an idea killer. And so we weren't idea killers. We were just like, word. Okay, that's dope. Like, makes absolutely no sense right now, but cool, it's dope. Like, let's figure it out, you know? So, and we sit down and we would talk about it. It wasn't a debate. It's just like, word, let's build on that. That's dope. Let's figure out some additions to, you know, really make it like what it is that you're saying, because now it could be bigger, you know, right. Or it could be... So that was the environment we dealt in.
That's deep, because idea killers are horrible people. Horrible people.
They're just sad.
Just sad. Like, here's a bunch of reasons why we can't do this. Like you said, let's try to build on it. Like, if we can't do a Circus on Mars example, like, let's figure out just how we could do something along the lines to build the idea instead of let's just say a million reasons why it won't work. And I think that's the situation I came out of. It was just removing all negative energy. Yeah. Just all negative energy. People that, I just want to be surrounded with people that want to contribute to the idea and help build it in a realistic way. Because, of course, like, when you're an artist, you're going to say some crazy stuff. Like, but that's why we're artists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just different perspectives on life.
Yeah.
So,
no, I do think really there's cool. value to a person who can say, like, no, you actually can't do this because we're already working on this other thing. And I know this is going to be like to keep some shit in check.
Yeah, you have to be reasonable. Q-Tip calls me the voice of reason. Everybody in the team is like, yo, talk to Ali. He's the voice of reason. Like, they all say that. And I used to be offended by that. I'm like, why? Because I am, you know, am I the dream killer? You know, but I know that I'm not. I'm I'm the voice of reason. It's like, okay, that's cool. But can we think of it from this perspective? And you know, I have also, God has blessed me with the way, I appreciate people and what they're saying. I'm not a dream killer. It's just, I listen, I'm like, cool. I'm a logical thinker. And it's just like, cool, that's impossible. But, you know, maybe if we try this way, then now it's possible.
No, you do it to me. You like, I've been trying to take my check on tour. like for a while, just like do these interviews live in front of an audience. We've done them a few times.
Oh, that would be so clean.
Yeah,
what?
It's, you know, and it's always killed. No. He does, but like I want to actually go on tour, like do it for a month, do like 10 cities at least, like whatever, and do like a local act and a national act. Anyway,
that would be super clean.
It
and
wasn't.
I feel like it's way more credible. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just, it needs to be somebody from a position of theory. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I would respect that a lot. I really think that would be cool.
Yeah, well, from your lips to God's ears. Anyway, it was only until today that he was like, oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, we should do that. But he never told me, I think that's crazy and exhausting and it'd be really expensive.
That's all of the above, like, for sure. Fine. All of the above.
That's exactly how my mind operates. I'm like,
he's like, Freddie, you're so
I'm like,
tired.
I know the infrastructure. It's like, that's the other thing for me, and it may be helpful for you. I don't know how you think, but I'm like, I'm a very creative person, but I'm also a very business-minded person. So it's just like, and from the business, I completely understand the structure of my organization and corporation. So it's just like, if we want this idea, you know, to really be, I'm like, man, it's not possible. So I'm thinking, like, how can we make it possible? And it's like, all right, we got to go out. We got to do this and we got to set this up. And then sometimes I've learned, like, you should be more of a feeling person. Go with the flow. That's what I'm learning now at 44.
What did Big Sean's dad say? It's a feeling process.
It's a feeling process.
That was his dad talking?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Right?
So I go in and out, and I'm like, I'm so structured, like, I have feeling, and when I'm sitting down in front of a piano or a drum machine, it's like crazy. I'm lost in the feeling. But then when it's like operational life, I'm like, less feeling, and like, I want this shit to work. I want to win. So it's like, okay, let's make sure that we can, let's build it if it's not built. And then I spend so much time doing that, and it's just like, yo, just go with the flow. It's going to work, you know? So that's the dynamic. But you want to have people who have, you know, give and take.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that. Energy is important. It's all about energy. Yeah. I don't have any negative energy people around me. The kids that, it's funny, Tip was always big into bringing kids from his neighborhood specifically to bring them on the road to show them something, to give them an opportunity to see something they never saw, and to, you know, to figure out their way in life. And to become business people, just using whatever, carrying records for us or whatever. And I don't think he told them about me. So, you know, it's like, yo, is your people cool? But then they come in and I'm like, yo, this is the rules. I'm responsible for your life. I don't want to have to talk to your mom or dad and bring you home in a bag. So this is how we're going to move.
And it was not ready for that.
Be like, yo, what's his problem?
Yeah.
Tip would be like,
voice of reason.
You know, he don't have a problem.
Yeah.
This is, he want to bring you home safely because we responsible for you, you know, like, but you don't think like that when you're 19 cause if you don't have the right structure around you. So, you know, you got to learn the hard way. It's like, oh, man, so-and-so just got arrested for whatever. We want to make money. We don't want to be wasting money on bail and attorneys. Attorneys cost, litigating, criminal attorneys cost a lot. So we going on the road, though, Franny.
Yes.
We're taking microphone check on the road.
Yes.
Come to the Bay Area, please. Okay. Yeah. Come to, like, Cal Berkeley or something. I know they would love to have that there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or Youth Radio in Oakland. Would love
they
that.
They do really good work. We worked with them before.
Yeah. You know, I worked at Youth Radio.
I was just about to ask you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, he just told me. Well,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I worked at Youth Radio, and I was, like, in the program.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, probably why I was even able to take music so serious. They had a music production section, and that's why I learned to use the program that I use now. I learned how to use Pro Tools. It just game me up. And, like I was saying, they made me study music. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It was just deep. They loaded my computer up with so much music.
Public media.
Like gigs and gigs and gigs of music.
How did you get involved?
My homegirl, her name is Savanya, and we went to high school together, and she just knew I was into music. She was like, I work at this place. It's called Youth Radio. You should just go up there and do an interview with the person in charge and just see what happens. I told my mom and she took me up there.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I said when I have to do interviews with people, I always send them to Youth Radio. I think I sent Lil B to Youth Radio.
Lil B, bass guy, Lil B?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking all this time. I don't know.
Oh, it's all good, man. I could sit here for hours and chat it up with y'all. This is cool. This is real cool. I learned a lot more than anything.
Dope.
Thanks again. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully you bring the tour to the Bay.
Yeah.
Our house is your house.
Hey.
Mi casa is su casa.
Literally.
Su.